I'm Tim Padilla, Consulting Director for MarkLogic. Michael Melgeri, Principal Technologist, and we are MarkLogic. So MarkLogic is an enterprise platform. It's a database, and I know like everybody's like, why am I here? It's not that bad. But we're a next generation database. We are a NoSQL database, document based database. And so we're going to talk about some of the, you know, kind of the challenges around legacy technology and why it's not really a great fit for today's initiatives. So we want to talk about, you know, intersection of technology, delivery, meeting expectations, and it's a pretty small room. So I think anybody, if you have a question, please ask it as we go. You don't even need to raise your hand. You can just kind of shout it out. Any questions before we start? Who we are, why we're here? No? Okay. All right, so some session themes. So IT initiatives, you know, we're an IT-related conference, but you know, we're managing data, but it's still, these things are information technology. And they're still too difficult, they take too much time to return value. So keep that in mind. Legacy, rigid technology, not always the right tool for the job. Technology either increases or decreases the need for organizational governance and work and other things that go into it. And then, wouldn't it be nice if there were another way? And like, I think you probably all know what we're gonna say that is. Okay, so not to, you know, get into this is your business, because you guys know your business. I do have a studio background. I was at Warner Studio for 16 years. I see faces that I've actually worked with here before. But you know, the point is not to delve into that. And say, hey, I know your business, because I hated it when I was at a studio and people came in and said that to me. But you know, data is what we need. Data is what we're managing. It's like it's the most important thing that we do. And all of our initiatives, our experiences are based on data. And we are in the experience economy. And I grabbed a quote from somewhere, but it's like something somebody else said is you're either gonna adapt or you're gonna die. And it's like a generalized quote, but it's true. And the way that you adapt is you use your data. You use data from many different places, you bring it together, and you enhance your experiences. And so we've seen that the dramatic changes in the industry that have been going on for 20 years or whatever it's been, and data continues to drive that. So that data that you need is often still stuck in a silo. And a silo is a departmental or a business unit system that department or that business unit has access to, but it doesn't have the benefit of other data. And generally, you want to take that data and you want to bring it together. And so that data integration, that's what you're doing wrong. And so apologies to George Bush, but no matter what you think of the guy, he's got a sense of humor, so he would probably laugh if he was here. But I'm getting... It's like I tell a joke and I get off my thing. So data integration, I mentioned, it's required and it underpins everything we do. I don't know, anybody not have to bring data from multiple places when they do something recently? I always I want people to tell me that I'm wrong. No?
You're absolutely right.
Thank you. So we're still doing it. And so when we say data integration, it's really, it's combining those things from different places. And you're using technology that you know, you're using technology that's been out there. And it creates a technical challenge, but not only a technical challenge, but it creates that organizational challenge. And we'll talk about that a little bit more too. So this isn't something that just we're saying because we sell a product that was created around it. And MarkLogic's been around since like 2003, and I discovered it in 2007 as a customer. We implemented it in 2008 at Warner, and that's still there, right? But it solved an issue, and it was that trying to use technology that existed, the SQL-based technology. Although we all knew it wasn't ideal. And it caused too big of a problem. So there's a great quote from Jeff Bezos showing that, you know, not only us that are you know, trying to sell something, there's other people that are using it, adopting it. But change is difficult and costly, right? So when you need to integrate data in a SQL world, you need to define things up front. You can't just flow the data in and see the data and work with the data. You need to define what your schema is. you need to do ETL, extract, transform, and load. And that's all work, right? And that extends the timelines, and that's why we see a lot of these projects failing. It's a core theme, and the organization, as it changes, as the requirements change, your governance models have to change, you have to keep up. And so it would be great if you could just march through all of these things, do it quickly. But what we see is, it's like, as much as we all say, hey, we're agile, right? This is what you see in SQL-based projects, because you have to define it up front, and it gets back into a waterfall thing. And you start to see flavors of agile, and you see Scrum, but all of those things that, you know, we thought we'd be behind at this point in time. Or not behind, but rather ahead of. So enterprise data integration. So as I was describing, you need to upfront, you know, build that perfect model. That, you know, that perfect model, perfect being the enemy of good kind of a thing. It definitely applies here, but you need to be able to build that model just to get your data in. So you got to transform it, clean it, try to govern it along the way. Or you cannot do that, so you get your pain later. Try to get your data in, but you got to throw a lot of it away because it's just not going to fit. You don't get your data security, all of those hard things. You ignore them at your peril. So a simple example of this, what would you guys call this?
Movie poster.
One sheet. Anybody else?
Key art
is a good one. So we've got one sheet, one dash sheet, poster. I think I embellished on the last one, but it fit the slide better, right? So as people, we can look at that and we can all recognize what it is. We all know that, you know, it's a poster, we know the context of it, and we know that we're talking about a poster for a film. You walk into a theater and you see it. Now, when I was a teenager, I went to a thrift shop on Hollywood Boulevard, and I wanted to buy a movie poster. I can't remember what the movie was, but it's back in my brain. But, you know, the guy at the thrift shop said, oh, you want a one sheet, right? I'm like, oh, one sheet. And so this is a real example from my past, from, I think, 2002, if I have it right, where we had arguments over this for days of what it was called, right? And so finally somebody, and it was like the most disruptive guy, it's like a Friday and he wants to go home. And he goes, oh, come on, everybody, can't we just get along kind of a thing, right? But, you know, the idea is that if you don't know what your data is ahead of time in a SQL world, you have to find those rules. So if you don't, your data is not going to have a place to go, because you've got your data coming in, you've got your one sheet, your one dash sheet, et cetera, and you're trying to fit it into a SQL row and column. And, you know, to be fair, this isn't always the truth, but in the applications that we actually build to make them useful, you need to define something to get it into that rule, to get it into that field, rather, so that you know what it is, you know how to use it, you know how to get it out, you know how to make it useful to your users, whether you're going to see it, whether you're going to distribute it, right? Okay, so not only is it a technical challenge of having to define those rules and everything, but, you know, it also comes up with governance. You have to actually get people together, and it's like, you know, you get a meeting, and you get a meeting, and you get a meeting. So with apologies to Oprah, it's like the longer this stays up on the screen, the more I'm like, maybe I shouldn't use that. But, you know, the point is, like, there's the technical side, and then you start to get into technical debt over it, but then there's the organizational side. And I don't know if organizational debt is a correct term, but you got to get together. I need to meet with you and see what you want it to be. I need to meet with you, and then I need to get everybody together, right? I used to do this for a living, and the way I get everybody to come to the meetings is I serve cookies. And when I left and went into consulting, I did this for several years after I left the studio, and I try to get them to understand, like, serve cookies, find out what they want, you know, have good juice and things like that. Get them to actually come to the meeting, and that's how you get them talking, right? But that's costly. And so if we go back to our model that we talked about before, you know, even an effective governance model, which looks something like this, you think about, like, along the way, you know, it'd be great if you could just do all this stuff quickly and then get here, maybe iterate through again quickly, but you're trying to go here, and then back to here. It's over and over and over and repetitive. So wouldn't it be nice to just have all your data in one place? for each of your businesses to be able to talk in their language, see things as they understand it, as they want it, how they want to talk to their customers. Have a tool that's inherently agile, where you don't have to define everything up front. And to relieve the organizational challenge and effort of governance. That'd be nice, Ed. Okay. And a reminder, just like shout it out. Don't be shy. Okay, so there's a better way. And I'm here to tell you there's something else, right? So it's embracing multiple models, no perfect model headache. Keep all the data that you need. Harmonize and clean as you go. Support multiple access and use patterns. Deliver results and value faster. And then not compromising on quality and security. So I'm starting to talk about Mark Logic Server. Again, Mark Logic Server has been around for quite a while now. 2003, the company's been around. We do a lot of things in media and other industries as well. But the difference between Mark Logic Server and a SQL database is we're a document-based database. So we store data in documents, which gives us flexibility, it gives us speed. It's very easy to get data in, and Michael is actually going to show us a demonstration about that. I'm going to start to kind of transition over to Michael here in the next couple of minutes. But the idea is letting the technology do what it should. You know, let it relieve you of that work. Let it be more flexible so that you don't have to do all those difficult things that nobody really wants to do and have them just kill your project. People want to get a hold of you.
They trying to get me?
Go away. Okay, so that's turned into the Mark Logic Data Hub platform. I'm going to talk about this quick and then turn over to Michael for some technical things. But you know, the idea is loading data as is, and we mean as is. It's, you can bring data in as you can hook up to a SQL database, you can bring a CSV file. We're even looking at some systems that have libraries out there to get the data that's locked up in those SAS type systems. We bring it in, and like I said, we're going to load it into a document, and then we can store it as is, and then we can do other operations on it. And if your world changes 2 years from now, you've still got the original data, and you can run the steps again. The way we do that is we have a system, and it has a bunch of tools inside of it. We load our as-is data, and the curated data sits inside the system together. We're able to harmonize, do smart mastering, we're able to do governance, semantics. You can bring your reference data and metadata all in the same system, and it's all available to you as it comes in. The access, one of the things I said before, is looking at multiple models for access. Transactional apps, we're not a data lake. We're an actual transactional system. You can do analytics and BI against it. You can do machine learning and AI. And then your downstream systems. We do a lot of work where people have an issue, they create something like they'll create a master data system. This is something that we did recently in the industry here, where they were able to implement the master data system after a lot of challenges, but they couldn't distribute the data. So we actually ingest all of that data and we distribute it to 20, 30 different systems downstream. And I'm gonna let Michael talk a little bit now.
Yeah, great. So let me just reiterate, if anybody has questions, just holler them out. A little bit more, the way I like to look at this is, this is a software pattern. We're right in the middle. I call this upstream, and these are the data sources, right? You all know this could come from the relational databases that Tim talked about. It could even be social media. We're going to do a demo of that. Twitter feeds coming in. And, excuse me. Downstream, I'll call this downstream, this is all the usage of the data. So you might be running transactional apps like workflows. Nowadays, we see a lot of analytics and reporting. Even media and entertainment, you're actually leading the charge for machine learning to understand what the data represents, not only your content, but what the consumer is doing. So every media company we talk to has a direct-to-consumer initiative, right? And what you have to do there is understand your content. That's being done by a lot of descriptive metadata tagging. You know, they look at each scene and they say, this is the character, the actor, the talent, the location, the products that we see. So that's knowing your product. And then you want to know the user. Now, you have some demographic information about that user. You might know their gender, their location, their age, but there's also a big dynamic piece to that, like what we see on Twitter. You have people talking about your talent, your movie. And you have to marry that and bring those together in order to do things like recommendation engines. That's not really rule-based. It's more machine learning oriented. We have to recognize patterns. So you want to get the right content out to the particular individual. One example I like to use, you might have, don't want to be stereotypical, but you might have an 18-year-old male watching a war movie, and you might have a grandmother, right, that's much older, and they both, you learn that they both like this movie, but they're liking it for different reasons. So the recommendation you're going to give to the 18-year-old male is going to be different than the grandmother. They're both watching the same movie, right? So you have change happening here, right? Different data sources changing all the time, and downstream the requirements are changing. Users are fickle, you have competition, the market is changing. This is where you manage that change. This is where you have to be agile. So you have to bring in that information, process it, understand it, model it incrementally, master it in an agile fashion, and serve it up to your downstream applications. And this is where you're going to, as a company, you're going to reduce costs and increase revenue, find your revenue opportunities. So I spent a lot of time on this, but any questions about it or what the purpose is? If not, we'll move on. Did that just pop up?
Yeah, this is really so. Not only do we have a kind of a general purpose tool, but we have design patterns for media. We've been working in media for quite a while, so you can see we have content articles. We understand all those things, and we have actual design patterns for the way that you implement it.
Yep.
But Michael's actually going to do a demo we actually built for this.
Yeah.
So we'll switch over to that now.
Switch over now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, obviously, we're taking a little bit of a risk doing this, but to be transparent, Michael spent 5 to 6 hours building this. This is a demo that we built for this session for today. It's not something that's been out there. And I don't mean to steal your thunder, but
no.
The idea is to show you something that we built with data that's just out on the internet that Michael started talking about. But it's the, when we talk about the ease of getting things in, this is kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, so these are different data sources that you might be dealing with, right? And three of them are Tidal and Actor Database, and Twitter is dynamic information. People just keep on talking here. I think we went through that. Let's just go. This is, because we're talking about governance, these are the kinds of things that we track when you bring data in. So we're checking the data source, when it was brought in, and who brought it, who was the actual person. In this case, it was the administrator. I'm going to focus on information about Tom Cruise here. He's a business entity that people want information on. So you see I brought in information, and I'm tracking that from IMDb. The next one is OMDb. The movie database, and then we have Twitter.
Okay,
so we're going to get to what can you do with this data? And I already talked about having these 360 views. So we might come back to the slides here, but let's get to the actual demo then. All right. Did it switch? Why isn't it switching? I have to exit that. Okay. Exit the presentation, and all right, wow. Okay, so this is the MarkLogic Data Hub platform. You can see I ingested 16 million records there from IMDb and some from the other data sources. We model that here, just like you, and this is the agile model. So I know I have a title, and I have directors, and I have talent. I also now want to bring in tweets, what they're saying, and in this case, who the person is, what the handle is, their followers, and what they're saying about it. So this is just a very simple model of all those different data sources. I was able to do this very quickly in MarkLogic.
And Michael, you talk about a model. Did you have to define that up front?
Not before ingesting the data. Good question. I brought the data in first, and I looked at it, and I said, okay, I want to create a model that's sort of independent of how I'm physically storing this. So now this can change on its own without worrying about the, you know, adding something else to it. It's very, very flexible. So agility is the key. And I could, so I could put in new business entities, new attributes on each different entity, and drive my, without messing up my applications downstream. Downstream. Messing up is a technical term. So that's the canonical model, and it's understood by both the technical people and the business people. So it's a good working relationship. And just to show you how I manage these flows, you see I have an ingestion flow here for IMDb, OMDb, the four data sources. I'll dive into just one of them here. And for each flow, I can create these different steps. So ingestion, I map to my canonical model. I can do some custom coding on it if I have some complex transformation. And then there's even some mass data mastering and cleansing, if you guys are familiar with, if you guys do that there. So that's the tool that gets you to start building applications. And then what I have here is, well, first of all, I have the ability, it's probably going to ask me to log on again. There we go. So I have the ability, now this isn't very pretty because I didn't put the actual names, but this is kind of like an Amazon application. You go to Amazon, what do you have at the top? You have a text box where you can search for electronics or books or clothes. You have, these are facets where you have different categories, right, where you can browse. And then once you find something, you can get result sets. And then you click on this and it'll take you to a detail page about that product. Same thing with your data. Right? And this is an out-of-the-box tool that MarkLogic helps you build these applications very, very, very quickly. But what I also have is the ability to look at this in a graph. And like I said, I'm very interested in what Tom Cruise is doing, and he, you know, whether I might be his agent or it might be Tom Cruise itself. But this is showing Tom Cruise related to, now these are title names, but you click it out, and this is, I have three movies here. Which one did Barry Levinson direct? Rain Man, you know. And it's just giving me a view. This one is
Mission Impossible?
Brian De Palma. And I think this one was Jerry Maguire, Cameron Crowe, right? So that's static information that gives me a 360 view, a very small view right now. It's just titles and directors. But I want to bring in some dynamic information here. So I'm going to run this Twitter program that I have in the background. And good, it worked. Inserted my triples here. And let me search. What do I have now? So now I dynamically pulled in information from Twitter about the people that are talking about Tom Cruise. And you know, one of the real cool things is I can drag him around like a jellyfish here. Slam him.
Getting back to all the compliments my wife paid out.
So I still have that information, but now I've got, you know, people have crazy names here. So this person here has 248 followers, and they're saying something about Tom Cruise. I didn't put the actual tweets in there, but you can go and look at that. Somebody else here. When I did it the last time, I had somebody, you know, I got somebody that had several thousand users. But the point here is, there you go, this one has 18,000 users. What's the name? Love to Ride My Trek. Whatever that is.
It's a cyclist.
What's that?
They're cyclists.
Oh, okay. Now, the key point to make here is, I'm playing around with it, I'm having fun, hopefully you guys are having fun, but this is something that the system understands. It's written in a data model that you can do this at scale. So let's say you might be working at an agency and you want to get information, sentiment analysis on all your talent, right? You can actually pull the tweets, run it through natural language processing, do machine learning, see if at this particular time there's positive impression or negative impression of this actor, in this case it's Tom Cruise. As Tim mentioned, this was built in just a couple of hours. And I know it's very, very simple, and there's a couple of things you'll want to look at, like title IDs, but you know, you could easily set this up and have labels and make it much more better, a much more better user experience. But again, easy to integrate data, easy to display it, and it's powerful because you can connect it to the technology that everyone's using today, like machine learning for recommendation engines, or just sentiment analysis, things like that. So any additions or questions?
I do have a question, Mike, if you don't mind. So it's pretty clear how MARC logic works, but then how do I get the information, the data already condensed, so that I can put it into whatever tool I'm going to use for decision making purposes?
Yeah, that's great, right.
So do you have kind of a report?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have standard technology. You could point Tableau at this or any of your reporting tools. So when you look at the level of analysis, you got reporting, diagnostics, description, right? But then, so the diagnostic and the reporting is usually done with some kind of tool like Tableau or CLIP or something like that. When you get into the predictive and the prescription type analytics, then you want to pull it out into a machine learning, so the models that your data scientist might be developing. And MARC logic is very good for curating that data and delivering it to those models that you've developed. So, and actually, we can run the machine learning algorithms on MARC logic as well. But a lot of, we want to fit into what's already there.
And then that model of pushing things out, like to a data lake, having curated data in MARC logic and then pushing it out, and you're just kind of having a blob out in the data lake, you're getting the best of both worlds. You have the context of your data inside of MARC logic, and then you have the analytics platform and the kind of playground that you have out in the data lake versus going through the data lake where you lose all that.
Yeah, and this the title of this was data governance. Everything that's done with the data, the ingestion, as you saw, is being tracked. So the provenance, meaning where did it come from, right? And then how was it changed along the way? And you still have access to the original source data. So when we bring it in, we might model it into that entity model that I showed you. But if you need to get at the original data, you can do that.
And then it takes out the, you start to talk about governance differently. You start to talk about working with your data with governance rather than trying to convince your people that they should use a system because they look at it and they go, that's not what I want to see. Right? So it changes the behavior of your organization, it makes things easier. It relieves you of tasks that, you know, they're valuable in that world, but that's not really what you want to do. You want your data, you want speed. You want accuracy, and as I say the word, and you want flexibility. And the difference, you heard Michael talking about modeling data and doing things. The difference is that Michael brought 16 million records that he downloaded from the internet and just loaded it in the system. And then he performed actions on them inside of the database versus having to define all that stuff up front, write with rules, and then hope that everything comes in okay. You can do that iteratively in the database, where you can actually see the data. Your users can start to see the data, and they can see one sheet, they can see one dash sheet. And we can put up like a graph like this showing, you know, like if a poster is the object, it's related to one sheet, it's related to one dash sheet. And if they do a search for one sheet, the system knows what they're looking for. If it's one dash sheet, it knows what it's looking for. If you need to send data, saying one sheet to Netflix, but one dash sheet to iTunes, the system knows how to do that. You write a quick transform and send the data out.
Yeah.
A lot of the data that you're seeing in your program guides actually comes out of the function now.
Yeah, another point, because the search engine is semantically based, two people can issue the same query but get different results based on their role. So we talked about the recommendation engine delivering different things for the same query. If I'm a product developer and I search for Tom Cruise, I might get some different scenes that he might be in, whereas more if I'm a finance person, I can issue the same query about Tom Cruise, but get more of the revenue that he's generated for the company. That's because there's a semantic relationship among these entities and the content that supports them.
I have one other slide that's, can you go back to the presentation? You'll see why it's important in a moment. It's not the very last one.
Is it that one?
It's the one above it.
That one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to do the swap screen like that. No.
Yeah, I said apologies to George Bush, but this is the actual image.
Is that the one you want?
That one up.
That one.
And so you can see even like the differences of, you know, something that was a...
It's not showing.
When I was getting ready for this, I'm like, oh, I should start off with something that'll get a chuckle, right? So I said, you're doing it wrong. And that was the number one meme, right? But you can see like in the context of things, and if you think about your metadata and you want to be able to, you know, be in control of your image, be in control of your brand, be in control of your message, it kind of fits as well. So no, he was not talking about this with the telephone upside down.
Is this the slide you wanted?
Yeah, and then the next one, we've kind of already said all this stuff, and we're running out of time.
That guy?
Yeah, so you know, we do have on our website, you can go to marklogic.com and see our community website. And as I mentioned, we've been in media for a while. Michael and I actually worked at Warner together, and we have other people out of media. Media is not the only thing that we do. You know, I think if I didn't mention this, you know, it's like you people that trust us with their data, you fly their planes, you put the gas in your car, you take their medicines, that's what MarkLogic is. We're all over the place. I think we're out of time. So can I squeeze any questions while we still have a moment?
So what's the typical cycle time we are looking at for the life cycle you showed earlier, or any size of data which might be comfortable sharing?
You've been on projects that go a couple of weeks to many months, right?
Yeah. You do, if you look at, like, I removed this from the slide because I didn't want to get into too much specifics, but one of our marketing things is like 4 to 12 times faster. But again, like data integration, that whole ETL thing, that is the cycle time. Did you say fiduciary? I wasn't sure if you said fiduciary. We do a lot of banking, but you can spend a year defining your model, getting access to data, and even getting ready for this. Like you spent more time just finding data and getting it.
Yeah.
Once you have the data, that's how we built the application. Is you loaded the data, so it's not that the application like you know builds itself, but you're essentially building your structure, and you're starting to see your data, and you're getting insights from it as you go. So as a developer, your cycle times are much faster.
I don't know if this is on point, but I'll figure it out anyway. So if you're dealing with a bunch of PI data, mm-hmm. right, that's being ingested from a bunch of different sources, and then you have a compliance kind of scenario, specifically maybe CCPA compliance, you kind of provide the governance and tooling to basically maintain that CCPA compliance and do the deletion of PI data based on the state requirements and all that kind of stuff.
Did we ask Is that similar to GDPR?
California's
GDPR, yeah.
That launches January.
Yeah, I mean the simple answer is yes. We work with a lot of healthcare companies.
Yep.
And like LA Care is one that yep. we work with here locally, and we have to manage that data. So you're really there's tools inside the database where you can obfuscate data. So you can deal with it that way. But having to delete data and actions like that, it more comes down to a rule that you'll define in the database, which essentially turns into a query. And what we find out in the field, we find that those rules vary, and they're going to vary rather by how that rule gets triggered. So you know, the system at one company is not going to look the same as another company. So the answer is yes, and we have those tools. You talked about data governance, and we can go into more detail, but it's all, you know, the old, it depends on how you want to do it.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I think we're right up against the time. Somebody
think so?
Said 5 minutes about 4 minutes ago. Okay, thank you, everybody. Appreciate you coming. We'll be down.